campaign. Thank you so much for being with us. That does it for the show. Tune in next Tuesday night for Democracy Now's Super Tuesday live special broadcast. We'll be doing it jointly with The Intercept from 7 Eastern Standard Time to midnight right here at democracynow.org and on many stations around the country. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for development manager position, as well as news production fellowship and news producer, all here in New York City. You can go to all of our job openings at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Harla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff, Libby Rainey, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Hani Massoud, Renee Feltz, Tarina Nadura, Tamari Astudio, Adriano Contreras, and Maria Terracena. Mike DeFilippo and Miguel Nogueira are engineers. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley, Miriam Bernard. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.
that's what happens when you're on your own and you're alright but letting nice things go.
Have Stony Brook men's lacrosse at the Ken Peelabout Stadium as they take on the Hofstra Pride. Matt Mankiewicz will be on the call, so stay tuned.
Sunburn hard burned my eyes, burned so hard I thought I'd die. Thought I died and gone to hell, looking for the water from a deeper well. I went to the river, but the river was dry. I fell to my knees and looked to the sky. Looked to the sky and the spring rain fell. Saw the water from a deeper well. Well, looking for the water from a deeper well. Well, looking for the water from a deeper well. Ready for the money, ready for the blood, and ready for the honey. Ready for the winning, ready for the bell. Looking for the water from a deeper well. Found some love and I found some money. Found that blood would drip from the honey. Found a heart of thirst that I could not quell. Looking for the water from a deeper well. Well, I did it for kicks and I did it for faith. Did it for lust and I did it for hate. Did it for need and I did it for love. Addiction stayed on the tag like a glove. So I ran with the moon and I ran with the night. And the three of us were a terrible sight. To the bottle, to the gun, to the the cell to the bottom of a hole of the deep well. Yeah.
University. This is Stony Brook Seawolves men's lacrosse. Matt Mankiewicz and Ken Furman here bringing you all the action as the Stony Brook Seawolves take on the Hofstra Pride. For the 11th time in school history, in program history, I should say, Stony Brook Seawolves will take on the team formerly known as the Flying Dutchman. So we'll wondering where I am right now on the air here. Hopefully I can hear myself. I cannot at the moment.
I just hear static.
Yeah. Just put that down.
And there we go. Back live. We return. So, welcome to Stony Brook Seawolves men's lacrosse as we take on the Hofstra Pride. The 2-1 Stony Brook Seawolves and the 2-1 Hofstra Pride will meet for the 11th time in their combined history. The Hofstra Pride have a 6-4 lead over the Seawolves, and a lot of those games, a lot of those Hofstra wins were early on in the Seawolves Division I history. So it's been more of a back and forth since. Seawolves have won some big games here, some big games there. Big overtime win at Sherwood Stadium not too long ago. And Hofstra has pulled out a couple here, and it's a very competitive rivalry. And for a little while, it actually was dormant because there's a little bit of back and forth going on between Stony Brook and Hofstra off the field, but in the past couple of years, it's back to normal, and the battle for Long Island is fully functional once again. But one important difference, the second coming of the rivalry versus the first, used to be back in the day, and it wasn't too long ago, that these two teams would meet at the end of the year. They would be a Tuesday game kind of like this, or a Wednesday, but it would be just before the final game of the regular season. So the Seawolves would have the Pride in the middle of the week and then have to face Albany on Saturday. Not much fun.
No, definitely not a fun contest looking forward to. Thank you, Matt Mankiewicz. Ken Furman here. To your point, I personally am such a big fan of it being this early in the season, and I was telling everyone that was listening, this is the perfect time for these two teams to meet up this season. It's still early in the season. Oh, it's their fourth game, both teams, their fourth game so far. Both have batting above 500, trying to figure out where they are and where they fit amongst the rest of the NCAA. Hofstra right now, just outside the window of the top 25 on most national polls, are receiving votes, however. They're ranked 17th as recently as last week as well, according to the Inside Lacrosse poll. Stony Brook, meanwhile, trying to get inside the window, trying to get those receiving votes, trying to get that top 25 ranking.
You take a look at AmericaEast.com, follow along with us if you like, and take a look at the men's lacrosse schedule and all the teams, not just Stony Brook. You take a look to Saturday, February 15th, the day after Valentine's Day, and I guess everybody was out with their significant others because every America East team lost on the 15th. Now, you fast forward to this past Saturday, and everybody won, which is good for the overall respectability of the league. The America East is not getting any love at the beginning of the year. Not Albany, not Stony Brook, not UMBC, not anybody. The Torrington watch list is completely devoid of America East players. On the women's side, they're only Stony Brook players. Only Kylie, Allie Kennedy. Yeah, Kylie. Kylie was on the Torrington watch list, almost won it, but she's since graduated. Her younger sister is on it this year. So they played guys who have been on the tour and watch list. And in particular, they played Brown this past Saturday. And those games have been traditionally tight. Also, a lot of scoring. Had that. But also, you had two goalies who were standing on their heads. It was 11-10. Stony Brook winning overtime. We'll get to the reason for that in just a minute. But you had Mike Bollinger with 22 saves, and he was going up against a guy who was on the Tuareton watch list.
Yeah, to your point, Phil Gauss on the Tuareton watch list, an honorable mention on the All-American list as well. Man with a list of accolades. Only made 11 saves compared to Bollinger's 22 and gave up that winning goal, as we're about to get to right now. So just to see the performance from Mike Bollinger in his senior year, trying to really make this one count the most, get those big victories. Performances like that are going to be key for not only Stony Brook victories, his overall improvement, maybe getting on the Tuareton watch list later down the line, and against explosive offenses like Brown on Saturday and today with Hofstra.
Ken and I split play-by-play duties. He was on TV, I was on radio. Yes. But we both had calls of the winning goal scored by Caleb Pearson, his fourth goal of the day, and I called him a star in the making. And even Anthony Gilardi is saying he's got ice in his veins. He's becoming a go-to guy. Now, one guy who was, he came up with one big goal during the Seawolves 4-0 run to retake the lead, Tom Hahn, only had the one goal, very important one, not going to take that away from him, but he had averaged a hat trick for the first two games. So, two things are coming to play here. Yes, where's Pearson figuring in, and where is Hahn going to figure in? Now, is this going to be a major change? Is his role changing? He only took two shots, right, which is not like him. Now, of course, he had good defensemen on him. People were keying on him.
He was a double team for a lot of that contest,
yes,
as well.
And he usually hangs out at the right wing. And, you know, he had trouble getting through. When he did, he got there at the right time and when desperately needed. But the big question will be is how do they take pressure off him to free him up?
Absolutely something they're going to try to key in on is that Hofstra defense. And that's something we've really seen head coach Anthony Gilardi bring in with his new revamped offense. We've used the word fluid a lot because you can really tough to determine who's going to be the leading catalyst for Stony Brook. It was Hahn the first couple games, then it was Pearson the last two. Will the two of them be the stars? What about Chris Mikkel Jr., someone who's doing work on the outside as well? Wayne White, a midfielder coming from injury, giving the team a boost with goals and assists. Even the mids, whether it be someone like a Matt Anderson type of player or even a Devin O'Leary, a long stick coming across the field, headstrong like a bull, getting that other go-ahead goal over Brown last time. Just so
oh,
many
that
different.
Was
yeah, that one was.
Getting
that was
his
the
own
beauty.
Rebound and then stuffing it in.
Yeah, they don't make him better than that. I'm shocked that wasn't on the top five list, but we'll give you the credit here, Dev. That was a heck of a goal. But either way, when you have all those different goal scorers and you look at a Hofstra team, where really they have one main player in Ryan Tierney now, it's going to be so interesting to see how these two offenses adapt against these defenses.
By the way, Ryan Tierney, the son of Hofstra coach Seth Tierney, he's a senior, again, a Gordon candidate, but also 110 goals so far. He is by far the most potent offensive weapon the Pride have. But he also had some help first couple of games that he no longer has. Certain fellow named Dylan McIntosh, number 21. We found out that he got sustained a season-ending injury against Villanova in practice. And that means more falls on Tierney's shoulders. Now, here's the funny thing. I was reading his biography just earlier, and he was recruited by Denver, too. Well, you expect him to be because his great-uncle coaches Denver, Bill Tierney. I mean, the Tierney, and also his sister is on the Hofstra women's team.
There
now,
you go.
Another odd thing about the Brown game is that the Brown players line up for the national anthem on the goal line, and now both these teams are lining up in front of their benches normally. But I'm going to hand it off to the PA announcer, and we're going to get set for the national anthem here.
We honor America and those who protect our freedoms with the playing of our national anthem. Thank you.
Pride and the Seawolves take the field, and we'll go through our lineups as quickly as we can here. We'll start off with the visiting Hofstra Pride. At attack, number 6, Luke Caliendo, sophomore from Carl Place. Correction on that one. We're reading the wrong roster.
I got you there.
Senior moment. Okay. Whit Stopak. Whit, great lacrosse name. Attackman. He is from North Canton, Ohio. And also attack Ryan Tierney, number 13, as we mentioned before. He is from Massapequa and the son of Coach Seth Tierney. And rounding out the attack, number 55, will be Ryan Sheridan from Victoria, British Columbia. Yes, another BC native. Turning to the midfielders. Starting out, number 28 will be Sterling Ardrey, midfielder from Charlotte, North Carolina, and the McCallie School. Number 30, James Philbin from East Islip. And rounding out the mids will be number 40, Riley Forte, one of the Quince captains. There are 5 captains on this lacrosse team. Dix Hills, Half Hill Hollows West. Hofstra has 5 captains.
That's been
much
stressing me. Who do
you talk to on the field? I have no idea.
Exactly.
So, your goalie will be number 22, Bobby Casey, one of the captains, from Wausau. Switching to the Stony Brook Seawolves, and I turn over the roster and get the right one this time.
There we go.
Tom Hahn, number 22, your senior from Ronkonkoma and Sachem North. Corey Vangenhoven, number 40. He, of course, is a Canadian. He's from Fort Mill, North Carolina. He's not Canadian, only an honorary one. Number 51, Matt Anderson from Burlington, Ontario. He's a Canadian. We have to have somebody on the attack line, and it's going to be Anderson. On your mids to start the game, Wayne White, of course, Big Wayne from Huntington, John Glenn. Your co-midfielders, of course, Caleb Pearson, Langley, British Columbia. So he's the Canadian on the midfield line. Number 91, Pat Cashoff. He's also Canadian from Windsor, Ontario. On D, he's a local, C.J. Trankel, the third Trankel to wear number 20. And, of course, he's from Comac, like his two brothers. Rounding out the D, Danny Cassidy, junior from Wading River and Shoreham Wading River High School. Your long stick, number 42. Of course, that's going to be Mike Sabella from Mount Sinai. He is a freshman in goal. No surprise here, number 47, Michael Bollinger, the senior from Holbrook.
Yeah, and to your point, you're just rounding out the lineups. One of the reasons why Battle of Long Island is so important, means so much to all these fans here, is because a lot of local talent for both of these teams. You got a lot of local representation, whether it be from Ronkonkoma, Massapequa, West Babylon, Ronkonkoma again, Mount Sinai, etc. A lot of representation, a lot of homegrown talent here. Really risk it all on the field for a victory today.
So, Seth Tierney will confer with his team for about as many seconds as he's allowed, which is about 30, before he's got to get everybody back out there. Seawolves, on the other hand, they're ready. They're just hanging out, waiting for Hofstra to get set. Hofstra, of course, wearing the road blue with white numbers trimmed in yellow. Well, it's actually a yellowish orange because the Hofstra colors are supposed to approximate the old Dutch flag. Now, the current Dutch flag has orange in it. Of course, the Dutch national teams wear orange, but apparently the House of Orange, the color is supposed to be a little bit lighter a few hundred years back. How do I know these things? Hey, my aunt went to Hofstra. So, first of all, you're no more than 1 degree of separation from either a current student or an alumnus of either of these two schools. Either somebody in your family went, or somebody you know went, or some you know somebody who knows somebody who went.
In this area, it seems like everyone's either from Hofstra or Stony Brook. Helps make the rivalry grow and bud so strong.
As is customary, the two teams will line up. The referees will set the ground rules. One ground rule that, of course, was introduced last year was the 80-second shot clock. And quick explanation of that, if you're not familiar with it already, and you are by now, is that when you're in your own zone, you have 20 seconds to clear. So if the clock is reading 60 and you're not out of your own zone, you cough it up. There is an over and back rule similar to basketball. You can't get, if you get past the midfield line on the other end, you cough it up. And of course, if you take too long to shoot, you cough it up. Now, the important thing here is in basketball, for example, you hit iron, you reset the clock. You take a shot, it hits a goalie, it hits iron, you reset it. But it's a little bit tricky here determining what is a shot. That's always the case in lacrosse.
Well, Hawks just didn't try to get a quick one off. They got Brian Herber there in the face-off against Renz Conlin for Stony Brook, and Herber scored the first goal for Hofstra in that game against Villanova just 15 seconds into that battle.
And looking for a clean win there, he does not get it. Conlin does. And the Seawolves will work from right to left on your radio, and Tom Hawn will have the ball in neutral territory, wait for the midfielders to get in on the action.
Yeah, Galari's got to be happy.
Will be Wayne White.
Galari's got to be happy with that one. Conlin got dominated against Matt McShay in the Brown face-off category, losing many of those battles. That's him getting an early win.
Okay, you got Anderson on the right, playing catch with Hawn on the right wing, kicking it back out to White up top. White penetrating, left side of the slot, finding a man down low. That's Vangenhoven. Vangenhoven does have a shot to bring it back to the X to Hawn. Hawn bringing it out to the right wing again. That should be Anderson. It's back to Anderson to White at the top. Anderson on the right again. Anderson driving. Anderson, even with the net, back to the X to Hawn, almost overthrew it there.
Good man defense by Hofstra so far through 50 seconds on the shot clock.
Driving, zigzagging, Vangenhoven loses control of the ball, and it's taken away. It's lost, still being fought for, and the Pride come up with their first possession of the game.
Great defensive stop by the captain. That was Eric Wentz that time. Got his stick all in the grill of Hawn. Popped that one up, was able to grab it down, give Hofstra their first offensive drive.
So I think we've mentioned four of the five captains already. So, Hofstra in action. You got Witt Stopak over on the left side. They'll bring it around. That should be Philbin there, yep. And he'll come around to the right side and find midfielder Sheridan. Through the midfielders again, the starting midfielders, and then one is Ardrey. Ardrey up top, and Sheridan on the right. Sheridan driving. They're going to bring her out to the X. Man down low, shot. Nice stop by Bollinger.
That was a great offensive drive by Hofstra, trying to catch the Seawolves defense off guard. Sheridan drew the double team, left an opening for that looked like that was Fort, actually. Or rather, Lufty. And instead, Bollinger was able to read that one perfectly.
Cassie having trouble. He overthrows the ball, and Hofstra picks it up at midfield.
You gotta wonder
long
if that's
stick taken by Michael Altman, another captain.
Gotta wonder if that's just early game bugs or a weather playing a factor. It is a cold, a bit of a chilly night. Drizzly just finished right now. The rain pouring over from earlier in the afternoon. Whether not as good as last night, but still.
So, they bring it all the way back out to the X to Stopak. Out to the left side, just outside the box, through the midfielders once again. Ardrey is going to hang out about 15 yards out, work off a pick, go to his left. Draw a double team, kick it back out to Sheridan. Sheridan going down low and shooting and missing. Actually went off a post. Seawolves come back with the rebound. On the run. They will settle down a little bit. As now Cassidy in there with the long stick. Had to be there. But now Hawn has it on the right. Now Anderson. And then they kick it back out to Pickell. See a new look on midfield. Pickell to the top of the slot. Hang out left-handed. Now he'll bring it back out.
And neither team going to rush their shot. They're going to take all the time they need. That includes going back to around midfield as they reset their offensive sets.
McCann will hang out for Grippy. And Grippy, 10 yards out of the box, he will drive down the slot, making a left turn. Out to Vangenhoven. Back down low. Pickell shoots, scores! Pickell, 45-degree shot from 10 yards out, put the Seawolves on the board, 1-0.
So impressive there by Pickell. I saw him driving in. He was about 15 yards out from the goal. Now I was expecting him to keep driving further. Instead, he pulled up, broke away from the defense, and just slung that one across his body. That one blazed through the goalkeeper there for the goal.
So, Herber, the face-off specialist for the Pride, wears number one. He'll go up against Conlin once again. Now, He went into this game taking 60% of his faceoffs.
It's 14th nationally.
So far, it's been Collins' favor. It's only been one. So the sticks are set. The ball is set. And shoulder to shoulder. Ball still hasn't leaked out yet. Now it does. And nice grab once again by Conlon. Two straight faceoffs. He's going to take it himself. Shot, and it's blocked by a defenseman. Long block. Comes out to midfield. Now Hostra. See if they have numbers. They're going to try to do the same thing. It's Tierney. Shoots and scores. Tierney on the fast break. Takes a feed. Underhanded shot. Goes low left side. 1-1 score.
Stony Brook got aggressive early, and that one bit them in the behind. That time, Conlon trying to take it himself, find a way to the back of the net, but that one actually blocked before it even got to the net. I think that was maybe Tom Ford, the defenseman, got his body in the way. And as you said, that ball traveled, went about 50 or so yards the opposite direction, and from there, Hofstra was able to score. And when you have the ball, when Tierney has the ball in his possession, more likely than not, that one's going to find a way to crawl through the back of the net. He sent a laser past Bollinger.
That had to go off a pole. Okay, we got a procedure call, so it's going to be Hostra ball. Grabbing it, Dominic Pryor. And he gets out of there. Gets to Luffy. On the left side. Luffy will take a pass back. Now we'll see a different look. Steinbach now on the midfield. Another midfield line for the Pride. He'll drive down and invert, bringing it around to Stopak. Out on the left side, back to Stopak again. Stopak looking for an opening out front. Takes a shot, bounces off of Seawolf and right into the hands of CJ Trinkel.
That was David Estrella there with the deflection. Great awareness by him, setting his stick up perfectly on the defense. Grab that one back for Stony Brook.
So at 10:23 left of the first quarter, both teams have scored. And the Seawolves will complete the clear on the right side of the field. Hawn will find White in neutral territory. He'll wait for the other mids to get in on the action. Already know who those are going to be. One of them is Anderson. Anderson looking to penetrate. Passes to Hawn on the right. Takes it back. Creates some space for himself. Pearson's another. Takes a pass from Anderson and sends it back to him. Now Anderson going to his right again to Hawn, taking it back up to White up top to Pearson on the left. Pearson driving. Pearson one-handed cradle, comes back out, goal line extended, and then out to the front again. Pass up to White. White now tries to penetrate along the right side. And he was looking for Anderson. Pearson digs it up. Pearson shoots, and it's saved, stopped, but loose ball. Goes out of bounds on the end line. It should be Stony Brook ball. Van Genhoven will bring it back in.
That was a tough break there by Bob Casey, because he was able to get possession of the ball going behind the cage, just lost it and had to go back to the net in order to avoid, looks like maybe Van Genhoven there with the last second effort, able to dive and get Stony Brook a fresh shot clock.
White dodging now to the X, Hawn. Hawn coming out, goal line extended left side. Brings it back out to the front. Again, Pearson going to the right again. Here's White. White. Nope, passing to the X, not shooting. Back out, this time it's a Cashalk hanging out there. Now out to Pearson up top. Pearson shoots, and another save by Casey, the goalie.
And so Hofstra working quick. Huge sling to Dominic Pryor cross.
And it was cranked by James Philbin, but missed wide right. Now one thing with the shots that miss, Stony Brook's opponents like to take lots of them. Brown took 61 on Saturday, but far fewer found the mark.
Yeah, to your point, Hofstra already with six shot attempts so far compared to Stony Brook's three. However, three on each side have connected near the goal.
Stony Brook, they take fewer shots, but they tend to be much more accurate than their opponents. Now, yeah, Luffy, top of the slot. He'll circle all the way out. Now he's found a man down low, and it was Stopak. Stopak snuck it past Bollinger. They're up 2-1.
Yeah, and that was interesting defense there, because there was a defender right in front of Bollinger, too. It wasn't quite clear to see who it was, but Stopak with the wherewithal got his stick right in front of Bollinger, who was about an inch away from intercepting that one. And that gave Stopak the clear opening on upstairs window, and he was able to drive it home. we were talking about too, Matt, just seeing who was going to step up offensively with McIntosh out for the season. And definitely guys and players like Stopak and Sheridan, definitely two to keep your eye on throughout the remainder of this contest.
When your second leading scorer goes down early in the season, it creates opportunities for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a push off the faceoff. It will go back to Hofstra. Corey Kale bringing in and get out of there. Philbin on the left. He'll play catch with Stopak a little bit while the midfielders settle in. One of those, of course, is Ardrey. As we see the starters, Sheridan, and on the right, Forte. Forte coming back to the extra Stopak. Stopak winding around, coming back towards the net. Feed down low to fake and a score. And Riley Forte extends the Hofstra run, makes it 3-1.
Back-to-back goals in succession by Hofstra. Good job there. Once again, attacking right in front of the goal circle. That time there, another beautiful assist. All three of Hofstra's goals so far have been assisted. That time it was Stopak coming through with the pass right in front of Forte, who faked Bollinger out and was able to get it upstairs once again for the 3-1 lead.
Well, Forte was wide open. So by the time he got the ball, it was basically a straight-up battle with him and Bollinger, and he beat him on the first fake and had the goal.
Yeah, also, once again, Hofstra really exploiting the freshman there, Sabella. Back-to-back of those times, it was Sabella who's been in front of Bollinger. That time just dragging him away from the net, giving their players a one-on-one opportunity to beat Bollinger.
Ball leaks out towards Hofstra territory, and it is dug up by the short stick D-Mitty for the Seawolves. Number 35, Renz Collin. It was actually the face-off specialist. I had him there for a second. I thought for a minute there it was somebody else, but Conlon was able to do his job, face off and get off, and get the job done. Grippy now driving down the left side. Cross pass. Piquel took a shot, but it was blocked. He's now fighting for the ball. They dig it up. Cashall got it.
And that was a great second hustle there by Piquel. He actually pried the defense there. He was able to push away a couple of Hofstra defenders, so Cashall ragged that one.
Feed down low. Cashall stopped. Loose ball. Leaks out of the crease and picked up by Cashock again.
Perfect awareness there by Cashock. That was inside the crease, and he's able to get his stick on it just on time and not get called for a penalty. Great job there.
And most importantly, the shot clock resets. Up top, Grippy. Left side, Piquel. Piquel leaving with the net, coming around to the X. Now to the right side. No correction on that. That's McCannell. McCannell on the left side, Grippy. Now behind the net, that's Bangenhoven. We see for the first time in a while. Off the loose ball, McCannell. Good shot in the slot. Makes it 3-2.
McCannell sliding that one in there. Off the pass there that time. Getting the opening about just in front of him. About 10 or 15 yards out or so from the goalkeeper's area. And just sliding it past him, the left side of the net for the goal that time.
So with 6:07 remaining in the first quarter, Seawolves cut the Hofstra lead down to 1 again.
And Bangenhoven there with a great assist from the right side of the cage that time, finding McCannell open up the hole. And as we're seeing two different attacks for Stony Brook. They're really targeting up the middle, left side of the wing for Hofstra. It's right in front of the net.
But also taking advantage of loose balls and broken up plays.
Yeah, that's not created for those two hustle plays there by McCannell and also Cashaw.
It's okay. Procedure call goes Stony Brook's way this time around. Estrella will pick it up for the Seawolves. Immediately get it to Hahn. Hahn's hanging out in neutral territory, waiting for the midfielders to settle in. And White is one of those. Anderson's another. And Pearson's the third. But now White will hang out on the left side, come around, invert, come to the X, and now go to the right side, goal line extended. Pass up to the top. That's Pearson, now to Anderson. Anderson, top of the slot, looking for an opening. Gets the ball knocked loose, and Hofstra digs it up. Number 35 on the Hofstra side. That's going to be Dylan McDermott, and he's going to try to take himself coast to coast. And there's a flag on the play as Bollinger stops the shot.
That time there, trying to go for the Showtime goal, was McDermott kind of going coast to coast, trying to get a dive-in score. That time, Bollinger got a stick on it, but looked like that may have been Sabella that's going to be called for a penalty inside the penalty area for the next 30 seconds. Correction, looks like that was actually Trenkel.
Trenkel's still on the field. Pearson. 30 seconds for a push, they say. So we get the man up unit for Hofstra. And of course, Tierney is part of it. But also Forte, who has a goal on the night. And he's going to take a shot and score on the man up. That didn't take long.
No, that was 8 seconds off the shot clock for the score. That one connecting upstairs past Bollinger. It's a Tierney, just a rocket with the stick, blasting that one to the back of the net.
So it's 4-2 now at 5:14 left in the first quarter. Object for the Seawolves, obviously get possession of the ball at the faceoff and hang out with it for a while. Keep it.
Yeah, that's going to be Stony Brook's goal, too. And when you give up two goals to a player, and our stats here saying it was Forte, not Tierney. Either way, giving up two goals to a player really starts to be a detriment to your defense.
Not only that, he was wide open. Had mm-hmm. a perfect shot.
That's been Hofstra's key so far, is getting creating those wide open opportunities.
The dig off the faceoff, Michael Altman, yet another captain, but he loses control. It's dug up by Estrella of the Seawolves on the near side. Flag on the play. Seawolves will play on, so they'll have a man up.
First off, credit to Stony Brook. That time lost the ball, but a great double team there by Estrella and Vangenhoven to just double team the player there, Altman, that time. And as a result, Hofstra player is not happy. Huge shove there. So regardless of what happens next, you could expect Hofstra to be a man down.
Seals will take their time as they make the most of this free play. Grippy from the left elbow, driving toward the net, bring it back to the X to Hahn. Hahn will come out to the right side, goal line extended. Now back up top, that's Vangenhoven. Quick pass out to Anderson, now to Grippy. Grippy coming around, inverting at the X. So he makes a spin move, feed down low, could not find Vangenhoven, but comes right back to him. McCannell now to Pickell on the left. Pickell, he'll invert and get it to Hahn. Hahn, feed down low and it's missed, but dug up by McCannell at the restraining line.
You see what's going for those quick feeds? It's just saying, trying to get right in front of the goal circle there. Hofstra defense conversion.
Nice turnaround shot by Vangenhoven on the left side. Seawolves score, make it 4-3.
And that was a great offensive adjustment there by the Seawolves, trying to get the quick shots off the quick pitches inside. They kept fumbling it. So what did they do? Feed it to Vangenhoven on the left wing, and he connects with another blast upstairs past Casey for the goal. Vangenhoven just all over the game so far, responsible for all four of these goals so far. Sorry, three of the four goals so far. Two assists and a goal to his name so far with 3:53 left to go in the first.
Now, they will start with a face-off, but the Seawolves will be man up because the penalty still counts. It's a one-minute penalty for cross-checking, and it's going to be against number 25 on the Hofstra side, and that'll be Michael Altman, one of the Quince captains. There are five of them.
And you're also...
So Conlon still trying to get the ball free from Herber, and now it leaks out towards the Hofstra side of the field and dug up for a second there by a Hofstra long stick. Still being fought for in the Hofstra box. And finally, Seawolves come up with it. Hahn's got it.
And Jaloy calling a timeout right in front of the umpire. He's going to use this one. And
perfectly.
With this, the next 39 seconds or so of advantage, he's going to set them up to tie this game.
Absolutely. So with 3:32 remaining in the first quarter, Seawolves man up out of the timeout. We'll send it back to Zach very briefly for an update. It is Hofstra 4, Stony Brook 3 on the longtime home for Seawolves Athletics, WSB.
And back in the studio, you got Zach Wilson giving you some scores and updates from what's going on in lacrosse and basketball. Start off with lacrosse, men's lacrosse games that happened earlier today. You got UMass and UMass Lowell battle Massachusetts. The Minutemen take down the Riverhawks 11-9. You also got Monmouth and Wagner as the Hawks take down the Seahawks 9-5. Georgetown and Mount St. Mary's. Georgetown Hoya is taking advantage of the win 14-7. High scoring affair between Drexel and Robert Morris as Drexel wins it 24-12. You also got Binghamton taking on the Bucknell Bison, where Bison outgained them 16-4. We've got a game currently going on right now in the third quarter. Actually, just entered the fourth quarter between the Virginia Cavaliers and High Point. It's all tied up at 13 right now. Fourth quarter has just begun. We'll see how Virginia tries to hold on after they lost the recent game. We also got another game currently going on right now with 45 seconds left. Holy Cross has a 9-8 lead over Harvard. And we'll see what happens in those last 45 seconds after Ryan Graff got a go-ahead goal. Got the goal to cut the deficit to 1 for Harvard. We also got other games going on, such as the ones that happened earlier today in women's lacrosse. Temple and LaSalle, Owls win it 16-9 for Temple. We also got Boston College defeating Brown 13-10. We'll talk more about that later, but for now, back to LaBelle Stadium to Ken and Matt.
Hawkins down, 3:18 left in the first quarter. Seems with the ball man up. And they're working on from behind the net. Out to White now. Hahn quarterbacking at the X. On the left side, Vangenhoven. Overhand shot taken by Pickell off the pass is wide to the right. And they'll try it again with about 6 seconds left on the man up. But why is the clock still going? They stopped at 4. There should be a couple left on that. A couple more left on, I should say. So, from the far corner of the field here, in the Hofstra zone, it'll be brought back in by Hahn. By the time the ball gets back into play, the man up should be over.
And with the Hofstra, great job defensively, not allowing any openings up the middle that time. Remember, he surrendered the last goal that way. That time, the Hofstra defense, even with the man down, still covering every Stony Brook player, doing a good job really holding back and not allowing any sort of advantage for Stony Brook on the run.
So they did put 4 seconds back up there. 8 seconds left on the man up. 3:01 on the game clock. 48 on the shot clock. Still plenty of time. Not an issue there. So now that everything is where they want it to be, they give them 9 seconds, actually. Seawolves actually have a little bit of time to get a shot off here. They'll circle around to the left, Vangenhoven. Vangenhoven feed down low. He scores! Right at the crease, Corey Vangenhoven ties the game. Now is it man up? Doesn't really matter. Nobody cares. It's still 4-4.
That time going right to Casey next to the net. Great dish there, left side of the wing. Vangenhoven going 1-on-1 against the defender. That was Forte there that time. Getting past him on the right and connecting upstairs on the top right window. Tie game at 4, and it's been an explosive first period. Very similar to Brown Stony Brook.
So Corey Vangenhoven coming through on the left side, his favorite spot on the field. Now with 2:51 left in the first quarter, we're back where we started. Yeah, with a face-off, Herber against Conlin. Conlin, do you have the clean win? Nope. They say there's a little slash there and a flag.
Now that was a very close one there. Seen it on the replay. Does look like he nipped him at the end. A little bit shocked the umpires called it this early, though, into this contest. 2:47 in the first. So it's going to give Hofstra a man advantage immediately after being down a man. For the Seawolves defense, we saw how good they were against Brown, but you don't want to give up those type of opportunities after clawing your way back to tying this game.
So the penalty is against Conlin. 30 seconds for a slash. And it's Hofstra ball. Delay of game, they called it. Forte running it from the top of the slot. Tierney just standing there, surprisingly enough. He goes to his right now, finds left feet, coming around, and now to the front. Shot missed and goes up almost into the stands. He'll be brought back in by Stopak. He'll pass out to the left side through the midfielders once again. Quarterbacking as usual, Forte. He'll pass to his left, and they'll come around all the way clockwise. Finally back in the hands of Forte again. Working the X, Stopak out front. Takes a shot wide. Gets pushed from behind. That could be a problem. But they'll just say Hofstra will get it back. Teams are back at even strength with 2:10 left in the first quarter. Tied at 4. And the ball will be brought back in by Lutfi again on the right side. Actually, he'll switch places with Justin Sykes, a freshman from Oakville, Ontario.
Going back to it, Russ
and
actually
another man down for Stony Brook.
Yeah, that time off the pushing was David Ryder. So you can see them call it, but that's two quick ones on Stony Brook, and it worked the last time, but they've already surrendered one with the man disadvantage so far. Keep giving a team like Hofstra those open plays. They're going to capitalize on it eventually.
So once everything is back to normal, 2:08 on the game clock. It's going to be a 30-second man up. Fresh everything else. Hofstra will bring you on the right side. Getting a touch lefty. And then Forte. Back to lefty again on the right side. That's Sykes. Working around. Stop back at the X end. It comes out to the front for lefty again. Wide right.
Looks like another pushing call that time there.
Yeah, be kidding me. 16 seconds left on one man up.
And it looks like that one's going to go on Deskowitz, who's out. Or rather, the load, the freshman defender that time. So Loud and Lighter now, both
so
in the penalty
area. Two
men
down.
Yep, and that one's for a minute.
Yes, so for 16 seconds, it's two men down, and for another 44, it's one man down. And a minute 54 left in the period here.
This is the Pride's chance to strike. You don't get better openings than that.
And it's Tierney taking the shot from 15 yards out. So that releases one, but he's still got another. 5-4 now in favor of Hofstra.
And right on cue, who else but the orchestrator of the Hofstra offense, Ryan Tierney, connecting wide open, left alone there. But you notice prior to that, Stony Brook was actually double-teaming him for much of the Pride's offense. Of now with two players down, he was able to find the opening and connect it off a slash past Bollinger for the 5-4 lead.
Now here's the question. The man-up clock is not up. There were still 9 seconds left on the first man up. So there were two men down. 9 seconds left on it. Did they release that one too?
Yeah, it looks like both teams are back on even strength.
That doesn't make any sense. Okay, loose ball. Picked up by the faceoff specialist Herbert for Hofstra. But he takes it back into his own territory. Now Hofstra has to clear. They've got some time. They do so. And able to do it was Keegan Santos, someone who's not a captain for once. He'll pass to Dominic Pryor, and now to Stopak, regular offensive player. Sheridan, another one. And Forte, still another. And we'll also see number 28, Ardrey, and it's your midfield line. Tierney's got it on the right. Stopak at the X. All the way out to the left side, number 30, Philbin. And out to the midfielders once again. Ardrey. Right side Forte, hey, on the elbow. He'll try to get past Estrella, work off a pick, penetrate. Now they'll bring it back to the X to Stopak again. Stopak looking for a feed, and there's the man, Forte. But Forte draws a double team. He's got to back it out. There's a flag. So they found Sheridan. Sheridan just fired a shot underhanded just for the sake of having one. For 46.4 seconds left. Another extra man opportunity for Hofstra, and Siebels, I think, caught a break on one of them.
Yeah, that time it's going to be on Danny Cassidy, though, sophomore team all conference for slashing, so he's going to be in the penalty area for the remainder of this first period.
Provided, of course, Hofstra doesn't score.
Correct.
Now getting on the right side, Luffy. Man up unit up there, and Forte is quarterbacking at the top. Going down low again on a bounce pass to Lutfi on the left side. Now they bring it again to Sykes on the right. Sykes went feed down low. He was looking for somebody there, and fortunately Forte was able to pick up the loose ball.
He was keeping two there to protect Bollinger right in front of the circle.
Stopak cycling, passing to his right, Lutfi again. Luffy and Sykes playing catch on the right side. 6 seconds left. 19 seconds left on the man up. And they get a call timeout here. You're going to let it run out. Nope, you're going to let it run out. So they'll let the first quarter run out with 14 seconds left on the man up to start the second. Up 5-4. Which I don't quite understand. Why not get a shot and catch him flat-footed?
Yeah, interesting strategy, but perhaps Coach Tierney suspects his offense is going to work better with a fresh time on the clock with that new period coming up. Remember last game they did score 14 seconds in against Villanova in the first period. They then try to replicate that same success in the second.
Okay, let's send it back to Zach in Studios WSB for an update. At the end of one full quarter, it's Hofstra 5, Stony Brook 4 on the longtime home for Schools Athletics WSB.
Kim back in the studio here during the first quarter. Brave got some scores going on. Women's basketball 3 right now. 14th-ranked Northwestern with a 3-point lead over Ohio State at halftime. Also at halftime, two other games in the Big South. High Point with a 4-point lead over Presbyterian, 44-40. But also at halftime in the Big South, you got Bradford up over South Carolina Upstate, 38-15. And men's basketball got some games going on later tonight. Games that should be happening very shortly. Fourth playing Dayton at George Mason. Flyers trying to achieve an 8-10 regular season title. While 7th-ranked Blue Devils take on Wake Forest in North Carolina. We also got 8th-ranked Kentucky up against Texas A&M, which Kentucky tries to restrain in its lead in the SEC. We also got 15th-ranked Auburn trying to keep pace with Kentucky as they take on Ole Miss tonight. Also, games that need to happen shortly as well. You got 24th-ranked Michigan State hosting 18th-ranked Iowa in the Battle of the Big Ten in East Lansing, Michigan. You also got DePaul and Xavier in Cincinnati, LaSalle and Davidson in Davidson, North Carolina, Akron and Bowling Green in Battle of the MAC in Bowling Green, Ohio, and you also got Central Michigan, Toledo, as well in the MAC as well in that regard. You also got 2nd-ranked Baylor hosting Kansas State in Waco, Loyola Chicago taking on Drake. You also got 22nd-ranked Texas Tech taking on the Sooners in Norman, Oklahoma. You also got a battle of North Carolina between NC State and North Carolina at Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So we'll send it back to Matt and Ken for second quarter action.
And thank you very much, Zach Wilson. Second quarter action about to begin here. Fresh 15 on the clock with Hofstra up 5-4. Now, as we said, an interesting scenario because Hofstra was man up to finish the quarter and should have, I believe, 14 seconds, correction on that, on the man up going in the other direction, right to left. So you got Forte on the left side, and they'll wind it around through the X and out to the right again. Bring it back out to the X for Forte, up to the top, and once again, Stopak. Stopak not in his usual space.
At that time, though, what it means now, so 8 seconds on the shot clock, Cernick survives another man-down opportunity. Hofstra, I got to get this one out.
Sykes looking to drive. Sykes making the turn, and that's it. Shot clock violation.
That Stony Brook sideline is pumped, and they should be getting a big stop against a very explosive offense, even down a player there to end the period, coming out strong and just plugging away at any potential holes Hofstra is trying to create. Great job defensively there. Good setup on the zone defense, and they replicate that success. Hofstra's going to have a tough time scoring throughout the rest of this period.
So with the shot clock winding down, you didn't have a lot of time on the man up. What happened? Take a shot.
Exactly.
That's what it's for.
And even with the shot clock, it looked like that may have been Sheridan, who was about 40 yards out away from the goal. He just ran in and didn't even bother putting up a shot.
So the Seawolves have Anderson passing to the X to Hahn, coming back out to Vangenhoven. Vangenhoven circling, now passing to White, right side of the slot. About 5 yards out, White bringing it back out, trying to lose his defender, drawing a double team. Has to bring it back to the X to Hahn. Hahn will work off a pick set by White. Now Hahn trying to get down low. He shoots, he scores right at the crease and draws a flag. The goal is good. We're tied at 5. Now, what happens to that flag? Hahn, nice move right around his defender, right just short of falling into the grease, but able to get the shot off, and that's a typical Tom Hahn goal.
That is skill from the senior, as you said. Diving in just before the crease, getting that shot off past the upstairs window against Casey, tying this one up at 5. And I was going to say, the pride giving Stony Brook nothing inside. Stony Brook was trying to create an opening by drawing an offensive player in, but the pride doing a great job flowing and substituting the defender across each man at the zone defense. It was working like a charm. Hahn beat him inside one-on-one with the dive.
So it'll be Dylan McDermott taking a knee for the man up. Full minute. Seawolves will win the faceoff clean. Conlon got it. So they will get things going here. Man up. Game tied. Just scored a goal. and Van Genhoven will hang out and wait for the units to come in. One of those guys will be McCannell, and it'll be joined by White and Piquel. Hahn has it behind the net. Out to Piquel, right side. Back up to the top to White. Now to the left, McCannell again. They'll circle again. Now Duffy down low. Shot taken. Stopped. It was Piquel took it. Kemby it back out to Anderson now. No, that is, and shot taken by McCannell goes wide right.
Great positioning by Hahn there. Right side of the cage. He was maybe a second or two slower. That would have been Hosterfried ball.
Hahn brings it in. Out to Van Genhoven on the left, up top to White, now McCannell. Out to the left again, McCannell, now going to his right now. Piquel looking at a shot. He has an opening, shoots up and over the crossbar. They'll try it again.
That
57
time,
on the shot clock,
great
in case you're counting.
Defense there. That looked like the midfielder, Dominic Pryor, just jumping all the way in Piquel's view, just distorted that shot.
Team's back at even strength. Hahn was back to the net. We'll flip it back to Piquel and take it back again. Goal line extended, and now all the way back to the end line.
Siebel's going to reset the offense, put Hahn in the quarterback position, trying to cut inside. No room so far.
Hahn trying to do just that, drawing a double-team goal line extended, has to kick it back out to Piquel, and now all the way up to the top of the slot for White. White one-handed cradle, left-handed. Coming around, Van Genhoven at the X, working off a pick. Comes goal line extended, gets tripped up, no flag, loose ball, picked up. Fortunately, by McCannell.
And that was a hard hit by the defenseman, Daniel Oakes. Good hit that time. Legal hit. However, Stony Brook able to come up with a second chance.
I thought it was a trip, to be honest with you. Now, there's a flag. At the doorstep, White gets pushed from behind, falls over the ball, but it's going to be a Seawolves man up, regardless.
Yeah, we saw White, left side of the field, left side of the wing, trying to cut past. That was Tim Haggerty that time. And that time, Haggerty, he beat Haggerty. He's had to push him there to avoid surrendering the goal. As a result, though, Stony Brook another man-up opportunity.
1 minute slash. It's going to be on the guy you mentioned, Tim Haggerty, number 43.
Hustler did a good job the last time. Just a couple minutes in the period, a couple minutes ago. Good job defensively. Seeing them flow very fluently with that zone defense. You can definitely see it again. So tough to beat expert defenders like Tom Ford.
Tied at 5, 11:26, and a shot taken by Piquel is blocked. Loose ball dug up by the Hofstra goalie, Bobby Casey. But the outlet pass, having a little bit of trouble clearing there. He found Tom Ford. Now he's got to go cross field all the way to Corey Kale on the far side of the field. Hofstra will complete the clear. Tierney's got it. And he'll wait for the midfielders to get back in on the action. Forte being one of those. And he'll be joined by his line mates, Philbin.
Yeah, the Pride are just going to burn the next 20 seconds of the shot clock before they get that man.
Also, number 28, Audrey.
Before they get that equal strength again. Disappointing end by the Stony Brook offense. That sideline not happy. That last shot blocked there from Piquel. And Casey was able to pick up the ground ball and clear for Hofstra.
So the man down is over. And Hofstra will get to work.
Yeah, interesting. From two teams that really thrive in those man-up positions, we've seen Stony Brook 12th in the nation entering this contest by drawing 11 man-up opportunities. You know, Hofstra, pretty good job when they have man-up conversion, batting 50% entering tonight.
Stopak at the X, looking for the opening up front. Now the feed down low, shot taken, Philbin misses wide right. And it goes out of bounds, and the Seawolves get it back.
Great hustle that time there. That was Matsuoka just able to get his stick and turn into that second gear. Over, it looked like that was a Peyton Jefferson, the long stick. That time, good hustle there at the corner of the end zone on the field, able to get Stony Brook another possession.
That's what he's best at, turning on the Jets when he needs to. Grippy is going to invert, come to the X, and find Van Genhoven out in the far corner. He'll go to Piquel at the left elbow. Now go to his right. That's Pearson. Pearson, rather quiet so far. Game tied at 5, 9:37 left in the second quarter. Quick flip to Grippy on the right side. Grippy brings it back up to the top of the slot, and now onto his left, Pearson. Pearson goes even with the net and inverts himself. Works off a pick set by Van Genhoven. Circles out to the right side and goes back up top for Grippy. Grippy, one-hand cradle, now brings the Van Genhoven in the far corner. Van Genhoven comes back out to the left side, up to the top to Pearson. Pearson penetrating, dodging right, now bringing it back up to Pikel. Pikel, he throws it away. It looks like it's going to roll out of bounds, but it stops just before it does for Pikel to pick it up.
5 seconds to work with. Let's see someone slash in.
4-4-3-2 on the shot clock, and Seawolves going to cough it up.
That Pride defense, great job there. As you said, on the zone, every man shadowing the Seawolves attack, man. Nothing they could do. Anytime to try to get a clear view, there was another Pride defender in the way.
So, at 2 years of the shot clock, and still takes some getting used to for the guys there. You know, too many turnovers based on shot clock violations, I think, in this game. Not this game in particular, in general. Unthinkable in another game with a shot clock like basketball. Yes, lacrosse is a much more wide open game, but still, you have more time. Sheridan on the left side for Hofstra. Sheridan looking to drive. Nope, he'll flip to Philbin. Philbin out to the right side. Shot taken, stopped by Bollinger. That was from Marjorie. And the Seawolves will be looking to clear. Nope, he threw it away. Tierney took it away. Tierney looking for someone to feed, but Cassidy got in his way. Now Tierney's trying to get past Cassidy on the right side. Gets free, he shoots. Did he get in? Yes, he did. Score.